You have your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to Leviticus, that it's fitting to look at consecration and being committed. And I'm always tend to be along those lines. Why are we here? Why do we meet? We surely don't want to waste our time. We're surely not here just kind of like, I hate to say, use the word, and I'm careful using it, like an entertainment, and then you go our ways, and we don't think about church or God or the Word of God or the things that God has actually commissioned us to do as a church, as individuals. And so tonight, just for a few moments, I'll watch my time. We do have Institute tonight, and so we have a lot going on. I'll try to be brief. We have four areas I want to look at right here in the text of Leviticus chapter 1, and it's four steps to being committed to God, or being committed to God, however you want to look at it. I do have four areas we're going to look at here tonight. But it is important that we understand, first of all, as Christians, we shouldn't have a problem with being fully committed to Christ. As we just partook of a remembrance, one of the ordinances of the church to remember what Christ was going to do at the time when he introduced it to his disciples, that he was going to the cross, and he was going to give his body, and he was going to give his blood, not only for them, not only for the sins of the whole world, but he said he purchased the church with his own blood. That's you and I. That's the church that he institutes. And so we should not have any problem being committed to God, to that kind of God. You know, I can say this, he's fully committed to you and I. He's fully committed to his promises, his salvation, his grace that he gives us. He's fully committed in making sure that we're equipped and we have what we need at every moment of our life. And I understand there's times when we get ourselves in sometimes a self-made storm. Sometimes we're just going through the trials of life, you might say. Everything kind of falls apart in the same week or the same day. But God, I assure you, God is still there. And a lot of times God wants to see how we're going to react and how we're going to react to what God puts in our lives. Sometimes it's dramatic. Sometimes it's traumatic. And but tonight here in Leviticus, let's read some verses and we'll get right into this. Leviticus chapter 1, if you find your place, verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him, and he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest Aaron's sons shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. Verse 8, and the priest, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. And then verse 9, but his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we bow before you, and we ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Be with this message. Be with your word as it goes out, not only to my heart and to my mind, but to those that have shown up tonight. Be with their hearts. Be with their minds. And Father, I pray that it be fertile ground for your word, for your seed and the Holy Spirit to work in tonight into lives. Father, be with our church. Be with our ministries and the workers and everything that takes place. May it bring you glory and honor. But just for a few moments, be with us. And again, be with your word in the hearer or the ear of the hearer tonight. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here we see where we see a setting in Leviticus that God is laying out how it should be or should not be. And Leviticus is full of this. But we want to look spiritually tonight at some points here, and I'm going to draw your attention here in a few moments to verse number 2. But let me say this by way of my notes and introduction. We're an independent people and like to do things for ourselves. Most people are that way every once in a while. Well, more so today than you did 50 years ago. You'll find somebody that can't do anything for themselves, don't care if they have a job, don't care what they're doing, and they don't know what they're doing with their life, just kind of like a bum. I call them a bum, a bumish type person. But you shouldn't be that way. You should be able to get yourself up in the morning, dress yourself, brush your teeth, comb your hair, you know, all the stuff, and go to work and do something that God has intended you, has designed you to do. And he said, if a man to find something to do with his hands, to do it with all his might. And that's work. And by the way, he commissioned both of us, man and woman, to work with our hands. And God gave you the mind for a reason. God gave the ability that you have for a reason. He sent you to school and the things that you've went through to learn or to train in whatever field you're in to be good at what you do. And you should do it. Do it with all your ability, all your might. But in that, don't forget the priority that God has in your life. A lot of times, it's easy to get trapped and to get manipulated with the talents and the time and everything that goes on with your abilities to put your abilities and your work and everything above God. God first. God first. And when we get that backwards, we step one step, if not two steps, away from being committed to God. We step away from that where we just become involved with God. And so then becomes the downward spiral or approach to life as a Christian. And it doesn't get better. It doesn't get any better. Matter of fact, you have less answers. You have less grace, less faith, if you please, if you begin to walk away from being committed to God in your life. And so as people, we like as a norm to do things ourselves. And so why are we so satisfied with leaving our religion to somebody else? It's so easy just to come to church and let everybody else do everything else. We're all to take part in the worship service, or to be, if you please, a sacrifice unto God. God has always desired for His people to get personally involved with Him. It's not we teach collectively. You'll hear a collective teaching of what the church should do and the ordinances of the church and the doctrine of the church. But then there's also a personal level to this. And it's not just collective, but it's personally. Let's look at this and see if we can apply this to our hearts and our lives and where we're at concerning our commitment to God. Notice with me in verse number 2, and we're going to look at the approach. We have four steps here of being committed to God. Notice with me in verse number 2, he says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock." So notice the first thing that we see is that you have an approach. If you're going to be committed to God, and I know that's your choice and my choice to make tonight, some of us might already say, "I'm already committed to God." Well, you might be. Amen for that. Some of us might say, "I'm on the fence on that. I'm not quite committed. I've been committed to other things in my life, and they fell apart." Well, that could be the case. Very much truth to that. But being committed to God, there is no downsides with being committed to God. And here, the first thing I want you to notice out of verse number 2 is an approach, approaching the Lord. Number one, to be committed, you're going to have to be willing to approach the Lord. You know, it's one of those things. I understand salvation, saved at a young age, and Christ seeks to save that which is lost. And he's not willing that any should perish as far as concerning salvation. And he seeks men to save men. And that's what we're about today, to see the lost souls come to know Jesus Christ. But here, as we move on from that doctrine of salvation, and we step into this Christian life that we find ourselves in as saved people, well, where is our commitment level to God? Just to God. And so we see, number one, we have to make an approach to the Lord. Be willing and be able to make an approach to the Lord. Let me share with you a New Testament verse, Romans. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans. Romans chapter 12. So we're saying, approach the Lord. Well, how is this done? Many ways, but notice as what the Bible says about this. Romans chapter 12, and I'm already in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That will not work. I don't know if I can make that work. Romans chapter 12, I always fear with a new Bible turning to the right place. All right, Romans chapter 12, notice with me please in verse 1, here's what the Bible says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he goes on to say in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That verse sums it up pretty easy. If you're going to approach the Lord is going to want you, yourself, to be the sacrifice. You say, well, I didn't know that was part of the deal of being committed to God. That's part of the deal, being committed to God, is number one, be willing to be used as a sacrifice for God. You know, that is some of the main reasons why people don't want to be committed to God. Because they know it's not Johnny or the husband or the wife or somebody else, the second party. It's the first party that has to be willing to be committed to God. Kind of like a marriage. Fellas, you're not committed to another wife. You're not committed to this person. You're committed to your wife, or you should be. And she'll probably tell you when you're not and get you straight on the straight and narrow. But with God, it's the same way. Your sacrifice, your body, your mind, he says here, it's a reasonable service. This is not something that some people can do, that other people can't do. It doesn't hinge on if you are a diabetic. It doesn't hinge on if you're overweight. It doesn't hinge on if you're skinny or pretty or ugly. Everybody is able to be a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice unto God. So you, number one, be willing and understand that you're approaching God from a sacrifice standpoint. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 states that. Move with me back to our text, Leviticus chapter 1. We will look at a few more verses, so keep your place there in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 1, notice with me in verse number 5. So number 1, we're looking at approaching the Lord, being committed. How is my commitment level to God? So verse number 5, here's what the Bible says. It says, and he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood around about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So we see here, as a sacrifice, deny yourself before the Lord. Deny yourself before the Lord. You know it, what I'm going to say here. It's hard to not to deny yourself, but yet be a sacrifice. You know, part of being committed to being a sacrifice for God, you're going to, number one, deny yourself and all the things that go along with self. You say, I don't think I'm ready for this. Well, I understand. But we see the type and the picture of the Lord's Supper and what Christ was doing. He was setting forth the example for you and I. We're to give our life and our heart and our minds and our abilities that God gives us to be used for Him. God first. And when you don't have God first, the questions come into play. And if you have questions in your mind, God might not be first in that mental priority list that you have that actually helps you conduct your daily service or your acts for God. What I'm saying is, are you fully committed to God, or are you just involved? We should be committed, and we should not have any problem with being committed. Sometimes we might get astray, and we might look at our lives and say, hey, we need to self-reflect and see that we need to move back to God, back to the Word, back to a true relationship that has myself fully committed to God and to the things of God. So number one, we'd be willing to approach the Lord. Secondly, deny yourself before the Lord. It's going to take self-denial. We're thinking of the verse in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into his son, let me go over there, I'm going to butcher this, were baptized into his body. You understand about the baptism he's speaking about is what you and I go through when we get saved. We picture the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but he says your flesh should be dead. Notice with me, I'm going to turn over there, Romans chapter 6, so I don't dilute this. And notice with me, verse number 3, know ye not that so many of us was were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Is a question. He's putting it on these people, these brethren, these non-committed brethren. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now watch verse 5. That's the clincher, if you please. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That makes sense. Okay, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man, we preach and teach a lot about that guy. Every one of us has an old man. He says here that our old man is what? Is crucified with him, that the body of sin, that's our physical part, that's what we're trying to say tonight, that needs to be a sacrifice, a living sacrifice unto God. Now watch this. He's crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should serve, not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, that means as we go about our Christian life, the flesh is dead. It has been crucified with Christ. Now, if you resurrect that bird, or however you want to, whatever you want to call him, if you resurrect it and feed him, start to feed him and feed to the flesh, you're going to resurrect something that's not under the power of God, but will be under the power of Satan, and he'll control you. Be careful. We looked at a verse in Sunday school this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 2 about being taken captive by him at his will. That's what the verse is referring to. Watch this, verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead in Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And he says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can go on and read that chapter, and it begins to explain itself even clearer that you and I as Christians should be walking in the Spirit. That's why I'm saying if you're walking in a Christian life and you're just involved, you're not committed, do you think you're actually, your flesh is dead? You're not. You're going to have to deny yourself before the Lord. You're going to have to deny self. So we see, how can we sacrifice ourselves for the Lord? Well, Luke speaks of this. Notice this. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke. And I'll wrap this up. I'm watching the clock. Luke chapter 9. There goes this new Bible thing. Every page wants to stick together here. Luke chapter 9. Notice with me in verses 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, it states this, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now he gives a lot of context to what he means by, well, how often do I do this? Well, he said there daily. And the cross you're going to pick up is something that you willingly pick up for God. It isn't going to be your sickness. It isn't going to be the stuff that you've caused in your life to come crumbling down. It's going to be something that you willingly pick up for God and willing to sacrifice yourself for the cause of Christ, denying yourself before the Lord. There it is, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Let's go back to Leviticus now. Remember our text, and let's grab verse 6 and move forward. We have two more points to make. Verse 6 in Leviticus chapter 1, he says this, and he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. So this thirdly speaks of acknowledging the Holy Spirit's conviction. This speaks of the Holy Spirit having a grip in your heart and in your soul and in your mind that is able to bring conviction to your conscience and to your heart. He said, well, I said here week in and week out, nothing I hear from the preaching or teaching bothers me at all. I live half like the devil and half like God, and I'm fine with that. Well, there is a third side to that thing. You find it in Romans chapter 1 about being turned over to a reprobate mind. That means that your conscience can be seared. It's kind of like searing a steak. You sear that steak to keep the juices in and the flavors in. Well, you can be seared with things of the world, things of Satan, and things that yourself can create to get yourself into trouble with. You sear your conscience, the inside of you. And the Holy Spirit, He struggles with that, but the Holy Spirit is powerful. He's strong. The Word of God is powerful and strong. And He's able to bring conviction. He's able to bring to bear what the Bible said He would. He said He would reprove the world of sin. And you can't do that without knowing what sin is. So the Holy Spirit knows you know something about sin, saved or lost. And He's going to reprove the sin, the world of righteousness. You know something about righteousness. That was given to you from your grandpappy Adam, the knowledge of good and evil. If you're in your coherent right mind, you'll know something about good and evil above a certain age. And then thirdly, He says of judgment to come. There is a judgment that's coming. And that should remind us, those three points, that the Holy Spirit's here to bring remembrance and conviction to our heart. We first and thirdly acknowledge the Holy Spirit's conviction in our lives. You say, do I need this to be committed to God? You and I need this to be committed to God. You need to be able to willingly work with the Holy Spirit when He brings conviction to your heart and to your soul. And so how does the Spirit help prepare us as an offering? Well, in Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to try to quickly get over there with this new Bible. Hebrews chapter 4 speaks of, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible has the goods. The Bible has the quickening power to discern you and I. And so being committed to God is not a fairy tale. Being committed to God is not something that we get sprinkled on us. It's simply approaching the Lord. Secondly, denying yourself before the Lord and acknowledging the Holy Spirit's conviction. And lastly, turn back to our text, Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 9. Notice here, lastly, about the four steps of committing yourself to God. And again, if you're a Christian, you're saved, you and I should not have any problem being committed to God. Being committed to God. You say, well, I'm not perfect. God knows you're not perfect. God knows I'm not perfect. It's not about being perfect. It's about being willing. And that speaks of the heart or the heart motive. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 9. You see how a sidebar or sidetrack, Satan will tell you, well, you're a dirty, rotten scoundrel. You're a sinner, man. If those people knew what you do, what you say, what you think, they wouldn't want to sit next to you in church. That's how Satan works. And you're saying, yeah, you know, right. And you know what? If you knew the person sitting next to you, what they did, what they said, what they thought, you wouldn't want to sit next to them. Now, that's Satan's level. He plays at that level. God knows that. God sees everything. Satan don't see everything, but God sees everything. And God's the one saying, I want you committed to me. I just don't want you involved. I want you committed. And these are the steps. Notice with me verse number 9. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Christ or unto the Lord. How does Christ bring about the cleansing of a new life? Well, if you back up now, I'm in Leviticus. I want to use Leviticus chapter 14 for this. Leviticus chapter 14. Notice with me in number 25, and I'm out of time, but we'll catch this verse and close up. Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 25. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. Listen, how does he have the power? The power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Here, this typifies or shows a type of Christ. This right here, this verse, spiritually looking at it. But here for you and I, Christ is able to forgive all sin. That's why he has the power and the ability. Number one, you're dealing with a perfect blood, a perfect man. But you're dealing with somebody that is God. And God is able to see everything that has went on, good or bad. Now, I would be scratching my head if God didn't have that ability. But I'm telling you tonight, according to the Word of God, He has that ability. That's why He's able to, I'll forgive you, I'll cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. And so here, let Christ transform you. It's not man. Man likes to play the working of the Holy Spirit. Man likes to play, if you please, God's role in this thing. But it's the Holy Spirit and Christ that does the transforming in your life. You say, well, oh, wow. You know, you might have somebody come to you, I think you need to be growing a little bit quicker in the Lord. I wouldn't listen to that person, that bird, 5 minutes. You listen to the Lord. Read your Bible. Be willing to be committed to God. Be willing to be approached by the Lord. Be willing to deny yourself and be able to have an acknowledging of the Holy Spirit's conviction in your life. And then allow Christ to transform you. That's the four steps to being committed to God. It's a sacrifice, but it's a reasonable sacrifice that He asks of you and I. Don't just be involved. Being involved, it isn't no fun. God doesn't want you just involved. He's got a place for those type of people, and He deals with those people, saved, Christian, but don't be an involved. Be a committed Christian tonight. Let's all stand. I look forward to this day, the Lord's Supper, and we'll take of it again here. We should have it a couple times a year as the pastor's led, but I always enjoy taking that, and always look forward to remembering what the Lord has done for us, and then look at the reflection that we should be and should do for Christ. We're to be His example for God, because He was our example or example. Tonight, if you have a need, if you need to pray, if you need to just be thankful to God, what He's given you. We're so blessed. We are a blessed church. We're blessed with fine folks. And we're blessed with a community that needs the light. We're in a place where it's needy. And I know as great a country as America is, it's still a needy country. Probably more than others in the right respect. But be thankful for what you have. But most importantly, be willing to be a committed sacrifice to God.